Good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Thank you for watching Consider This. Joining us on the show tonight, we have Dato' Abdul Latif bin Haji Abu Saman, who's the Director General of the Malaysia Productivity Corporation, or better known as MPC. Welcome to the show. It's a pleasure
Thank
to have you.
Thank you very much for having invited us here. Thank you.
So the MPC is the Secretariat of Pemuda, which I think many of us are familiar with, but may not know the structure of it. Yeah. But the idea of MPC, or the mandate of MPC, is to essentially review existing regulations, make it easier to do business in Malaysia, remove all the unnecessary red tape. Yeah. I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about where MPC sits within the structure, so we have a kind of framework in our minds as to what the role, where MPC comes in terms of making it easier to do business in Malaysia.
MPC is a statutory body under the Ministry of International Trade and Industry. All right, so Pemuda is a special task force to facilitate business in Malaysia. It is a task force where the members, you know, comes from the private and also the public sector. It's a balanced kind of membership. And the role of Pemuda is to address issues with regards to delivery system of the government to facilitate business in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. All right, so we are the secretariat. And if you look at the work that Pemuda does, especially with the most recent report launched by World Bank, Ease of Doing Business, we are now ranked number 12.
That's right.
We had improved by three position. So those are areas under Ease of Doing Business. There are 10 areas, and we've got what we call the technical working groups. These are all technical working groups reporting to the main Pemuda secretariat.
Right.
We monitor performance each of that technical working group.
Right, Latif, I've got to ask you, you know, the fact that it's parked under MITI, does it suggest that the work is essentially about creating an environment for foreign investors? That basically this is looking out into the world saying, come to Malaysia, ease of business, you know, and low red tape and so on and so forth. So please come and invest here, as opposed to being parked under something like a Ministry of Entrepreneurship or ministries that deal with the domestic situation.
Yeah.
How do we understand it?
Well, anything that we create, it is with a purpose, right? The word itself, Ministry of International Trade and Industry, you're talking about training, you're talking about industrial development. But of course, MITI does not work alone. When you talk about one government, you will have to work with the entrepreneurs. You have to look at even, because when you talk about industrial development, you have to cut also impact on, you know, environment. You have to work with the Ministry of Environment and all that. But of course, Pemuda is being put under MITI because we are talking about business related.
Right.
Business related will have to got to do with, you know, a flow of investment, you know, license to do business. You are talking about really facilitating, you know, entrepreneur to expand their business and all that. So I think it doesn't matter whether it comes under MITI, comes under MPC, but then again, when you talk about expediting the necessary services, it has to be whole of government.
It has to be across all ministries, right? Yes. You know, you mentioned, Latif, a bit earlier, the World Bank Ease of Doing Business Report 2020. Yeah. And yes, you're absolutely right. Malaysia has done well. So 12th position out of 190 countries. Yeah. And it's much better than last year. We were at 15th spot and the previous year at 24th spot.
Yeah.
So clearly, we're moving up the ranks. Yeah. We're doing something right in this respect. Yeah. Talk to us about the good practice, the good regulatory practice, GRP initiatives. Yeah. I'm guessing this has something to do with the fact that we are increasingly getting better as a country that allows for business, more conducive for business to come in and invest.
Right. When we talk about good regulatory practice, the essence of GRP is about consultation. We must do consultation. All right. When we develop any regulation, or even to abolish any regulation, even to amend regulation, we must consult with all the affected stakeholders. Now, we talk about GRP, we must first understand what is the problem that we have at hand. All right? And then we have to look at what options do we have. Not doing anything is also one option.
Oh.
All right? Could be the best. All you know, over time, you know, things will just get improved. But as I've said, options will be based also on the impact. Each of that options that, you know, we were looking at in terms of benefit and also cost. But then again, I had mentioned about element of consultation. You must have sufficient consultation, and it is based on issues that we have at hand. And what is most important is to look at strategies for implementation. You can come up with good regulation, but then if you are short of good implementation strategy, then good regulation would just be just regulation, right? It needs to be implementable, it needs to be effective, it needs to be monitored. And some of the regulation, it doesn't come only under purview of just one particular authority or ministry. Sure. It has to be at times whole of government, or it will also involve more than one agencies or ministry.
So, you know, here we have an independent organization, World Bank, you know, placed Malaysia very high in the rankings because we're being compared to 190 economies, right? Yeah. But what about the perception? Is there a perception that Malaysia is improving as a place for doing business? And or is the idea that there's a lot of red tape still a kind of baggage that the Malaysian government economy carries?
It's about branding, isn't it? Branding Malaysia as a marketable country for business.
Now, we must remember, World Bank, overall, yes, Malaysia had improved by 12 position. And it is based on 10 areas of doing business. You're looking at the full cycle of doing business, from starting business until closing business. Of course, in between, you've got about, you know, issues of registering property, enforcing contract and all that. Now, generally, yes, we have done well, but there are areas that we need to improve. That's why the GRP is important. There are some procedures you will see that it is still burdensome. For example, starting a business, we are ranked number 126. From 122, we slided by four positions.
So that's not doing, we're not doing very
because
good well in that respect.
There are regulations being introduced, procedures being introduced, especially like now, you know, introduction of SST. It takes 4 days. 4 days. Mm. Right? So World Bank is looking not just number of procedures, but also time taken. Okay. So that affects our ranking. But for construction permit, at one time, 10 years ago, we were ranked 138. But today we are now ranked second. We moved, you know, for over the years from 138, we went down to 126, 98, 48, 26, and then we went down to, I think, 13, and then we were at position number 3. But this year, when the report came out last week, we are now ranked number 2.
This is for construction.
Dealing with construction permit to construct a building in Kuala Lumpur. Now, World Bank study is based on actually, they get real data. It's not based on, you know, perception.
Okay.
No, it is based on case study. They will ask, you know, those involved, what would be the number of procedures involved in order to develop, you know, a simple warehouse in Kuala Lumpur. Right. So I think as far as ease of doing business, I think it is based on real case studies, right? Looking at, you know, specific, you know, a development of a building in Kuala Lumpur.
Which is great, because then you can actually isolate the cases where improvement is required.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, we're going to continue this conversation in just a couple of minutes. Yeah. Stay tuned to Consider This. Welcome back to Consider This. Melissa Idris and Sharad Kutin here with you, and we are talking to Dato' Abdul Latif, who's the Director General of MPC, or the Malaysian Productivity Corporation, talking about how to make Malaysia a more business-friendly destination. So you were talking about the role of MPC in reforming existing regulation to make it business-friendly. I want to talk a little bit about that balance, right? Because regulation, rules and regulations are there for a reason, but you also need to make it easy for businesses to do operations here in Malaysia. How do you ensure that that balance is right?
Okay. I mentioned about the need to do consultation. When we say consultation, it's not just consultation between government and the private sector or the business community. Consultation also need to be done with the other ministries and agencies. All you know is, I mentioned not doing anything is also one option. There were instances whereby, you know, one ministry would like to introduce one regulation, but when they do consultation, they realize that there is already a provision somewhere in one law under purview of one ministry, which is sufficient. Mm. It's just probably simple tweaking. So that's why we need to have government agencies and ministry to really sit together, and at the same time also to do consultation with the business community. Now, when we do consultation, we look at various options. Right? When you consult, you must remember, especially business community, they have done, you know, their business elsewhere, not just within Malaysia. They have seen better practices in other countries. They will come back and say, hey, you know, I've just came back from this country. They just take probably just 3 days. But why are we taking 3 months. Sure. They will share. That's why you need to consult. So that when we have anything that we finalize and we want to put into place for implementation, everyone will own up, right? Everyone will own up because they have been consulted. They will, you know, associate themselves with that particular regulation. So consultation, we have to look from every aspect, not just environment, health and all that. You have to look at in terms of impact, the benefit, and then what would be the best option, taking into account also strategy to implement. Mm. Then whatever that you put forward, of course, if you go and present this thing, let's say, to Parliament, I mean, questions will be, they're going to ask, have you consulted this, have you take into account, you know, this particular factor and all that. So I think a lot of things would be addressed fully even before it goes to the higher level.
So these are questions. I do want to follow up on Melissa's question, which has got to do with the need for regulation, because perhaps left to its own devices, the free market and businessmen would probably like to flout environmental rules. They don't care about the externalities of their businesses. They would probably be, you know, not thinking about worker welfare as much as, say, a trade union might be. So in trying to have, in having a consultation, are groups like environmental groups, trade unions, are they all involved? Because it seems like this is a question of whose interest is going to kind of trump at the end of the day. Is it going to be the profit motive and the bottom line that is going to be the ultimate arbiter of what regulations stay or what regulations go?
Yeah. That is why in the previous years, when we develop any regulation, it is entirely up, you know, to one particular ministry to use whatever approach. But now we have got what we call the national policy on good regulation. We have got clear guidelines. Even when we talk about consultation, we define what do we mean by sufficient consultation. When we say stakeholders, who are these stakeholders? We get it defined, you know. And even to do the impact analysis, we have got guideline, all right, business cost calculator, which is used by many countries in OECD and all that. Now, the provisions are there. It is about applying. Now, yes, we still get feedback. There are some. You see, when the regulation is more or less finalized, when it's about to be implemented, there are some party would say, oh, they were still not consulted. So what we did was, much earlier this year, we have this Unified Online Public Consultation, in short, UPC. Anyone can have access. They can give comments. They can even say that we have heard about the regulation going to implement, but we are not in the know. We will pick up because MPC, we are the Secretariat Pemuda. We also have a department which we call Smart Regulation Department. We will go and approach this regulator to say that, is it true that you have this regulation to be introduced? Now, we have came up even with what we call our annual regulatory report on modernization of regulation, which comes out once every 2 years. Now, there is one particular chapter dedicated on annual regulatory plan of ministries and agencies. You must tell in advance what regulation you are going to introduce, what regulation you are going to amend, what regulation you are reviewing to abolish. You are going to make it, you know, public so that all stakeholders, including laymen, citizens, they are all aware. Mm. So that they can start giving feedback even before that regulation, you know, is being put into public.
Is the response, you know, robust, or would you consider this lukewarm? And I'm wondering because often, as Malaysians, myself included, we are often very reactive. So when something is announced, you know, we are quick to react, but we're not as proactive when it comes to these public consultations. So is there also a communication element in this consultation?
You see, before the report is being finalized, what we do is that we will engage with all the ministries and agencies. And in each of these ministry agencies, they have got what we call regulatory coordinators. These RCs, are in short, they are appointed by their CEOs. Okay, they sit in the management team. They are responsible. They will be the party that will have to look upon on anything which is regulatory.
Like a liaison.
They have to inform us because we are the oversight body for GRP, right? Now, at the same time, as I mentioned, you got the UPC there. Now, all this, even before we compile them, put it into a report, which you will get launched, all right, you know, at our GRP convention, we will get it presented also at Pemuda. And I had mentioned, Pemuda is basically public-private partnership kind of task force. You got the private sector there, you got the public sector. The private sector, they're going to vet to, and they will say whether the report is complete. They will tell you, hey, there's one regulation which is not covered here. There's one regulation which, you know, does not follow the GRP process. We will take that into account. So that's why Pemuda to me is a strategic task force because it represents the business community. But even before it goes to the higher level, it needs to be presented at the National Development Planning Committee, one of the most important committees just before the cabinet. So you could see that there's a process. You do engagement with the business community, with the ministries and agencies, you get it presented, Pemuda, and then it goes to NDPC before it goes to Parliament or even to the cabinet.
Okay. So at every level.
And then you've got the UPC there, Unified Public Consultation Portal. So no one should say that they don't have access. It's just whether you want to use the system, you want to be part of the whole process, or you don't.
Okay, there you go. You've made it easy for the public to kind of, or different stakeholders to kind of respond. Okay, let's continue this conversation in a couple of minutes right here on Consider This. Stay tuned to Astro Wani. Welcome back to Consider This. Melissa and Sherrod here on the show talking to the Director General of MPC, the Malaysian Productivity Corporation, Dato Abdul Latif. Sherrod, you had a question
for Latif? You know, what we've discovered since the general elections of last year is that we're a really complex country. The three major territories, Sabah, Sarawak and the peninsula, and then we're a federation of states as well in the peninsula. And each of them have very different relationships to the federal government. Now, this is a federal government viewpoint, looking out into the country, but how do you operate across the country where you have states that with different types of prerogatives when it comes to lawmaking and regulation, and also states that also have their own economic plans and are reaching out to foreign investors on their own? So how do you coordinate all that?
Again, the word is consultation. If you consult, you've got good value proposition, doesn't matter on which side you are. If people see value, they will come on board and support. So this is what we have done. Now, I mentioned about the construction permit. We have done well for Kuala Lumpur. And now we are going to every state. Right? We are engaging with the local authority because they are the front line of government. GRP, we have also extended to the states and also the local authority. Because when people talk about doing business, it's not just within Kuala Lumpur.
Yes, of course.
Whole of Malaysia, we've got 13 states. Now, we have done, we have reviewed even business licenses covering Sabah and Sarawak. We came up even with manual that the public can use as reference. Because if not, you know, you don't have, you know, a document which provides a standard, you know, reference.
Is it not uniform across
because
the states?
Because we are a federation. All right, we have got what we call state governments.
Sure.
All right, local authorities, they don't report to the central government. They report to their, you know, state government. But then again, as I've said, there are some issues, there are some process procedures which can be generic. You can uniform them. And this is what we do. We started with some states here in Peninsular Malaysia. As we go over to Sabah and Sarawak, we told them this is what we have done for these two states and it proved to be successful. All right, and we recommended to be implemented, you know, at these two states. They accepted, like the way that we review licenses. For these two states, we came up with a manual. Some of the licenses, we could cluster them. You just make one application, you get approval, you know, a blanket approval, you know, for four licenses, one go, with less fee. So I think it's about engaging. But if you were to engage without a proper mechanism, so we want to make sure even at the state level, you have got an oversight body, you have got, you know, competency being developed. So this is what we are doing for every state.
Will that increase bureaucracy though?
No, but we want to be right the first time, rather than
get it wrong and then have to unwind.
Done fast, but not properly done. That is where you heard about this flip-flop.
Understood.
Decision making.
I want to move the conversation along, if that's okay, to modernizing regulations, because a lot of regulations have been done decades ago, right? So, you know, in the need to kind of future-proof it or to get it future-ready, you'd have to look at existing regulations and then change it. And that's where technology will help you come in to kind of modernize regulation. Yeah. Talk just a little bit about how MPC is doing that.
Okay. I mentioned about the national policy on GRP, okay? That policy came into force since 1 January 2014. And that policy states very clearly, any regulation which are more or which is more than 5 years old, they will be subject to automatic review.
More than 5 years old.
5 years old, automatic.
Every 5 years, the regulations will change.
It needs to be reviewed.
Reviewed.
If that particular regulation is still deemed necessary, yes, you can keep them. If it is not, then you need to be reviewed, either abolished or probably with some amendments. Mm. Because we have to look at regulations. We have to look at also in terms of the development going around, because things change, sure. Technology changes and all that. Now, even that policy on GRP, because it's only in the fifth year, we are now reviewing, because taking into account technological development. Before that, the policy did not mention anything on the unified online public consultation. We have that now. It needs to be incorporated. So everyone who uses that policy, they know that when they talk about consultation, there is an online unified portal. So we incorporated that. So it says that very clearly, regulation which are more than 5 years old, of course, Malaysia, we get independence 1957. There are some laws since, you know, that
from
time.
From way back when.
Definitely need to be reviewed. But of course, under one ministry, you can have so many laws. You cannot review everything at the same time. So you need to have proper planning. So let's say for the coming year, what will be regulation 3 or 4? You know, that is within your, manageable number. But you need to plan the following year and all that. So regulations which are very critical, that need to be addressed fast due to seriousness of issue and all that, need to be given priority. But you need to have plans for that.
Okay, yeah. One of the things that a lot of Malaysians have been, where the issue of regulations come out, is because of the gig economy. And the gig economy has been a big conversation in Malaysia Baru. And I wonder if you could just help us understand that, because some people are saying, well, the Malaysian government has actually imposed more regulations than necessary that's actually going to inhibit the gig economy, because the gig economy is based on various assumptions, including the ability to sidestep many of the regulatory controls that are for the mainstream, right? So mainstream taxi drivers and so on, the gig economy, e-hailing and so on came in. What's your take on this, the gig economy?
We have to accept the fact that we are living in a very dynamic, world. And technology is one factor that will disrupt our existing business model. Right, that's why it's not just about e-hailing, it's about even the traditional hotel operators, they are also affected because
the
of this
Airbnb,
Airbnb
and all that. But then we have to look at also on the positive side, because Malaysians, they would also like to generate additional income. All right, we would like to address also issue of underutilized facility. All right, I think we should allow. But it should be on a level playing field. Whether those who are coming on Airbnb, right, providing what we call short-term accommodation, and also with the traditional hotel. But at the same time, as I've said, level playing field, they need also to be responsible enough to ensure that whatever they provide is also according to laws and regulations that we have in place. We need them to pay taxes. Because these people over here, the traditional hotel operators, they're also paying taxes. But to get things done together, we have to bring, that's why we have Pemuda. All right? What we did was, we engaged with all of them, we look at issues, and then we come up with the best recommendation through consultation with all the involved parties, and then we get it endorsed at Pemuda level. Because Pemuda, you got the private sector representing interests of all the business community. So once we agree, and then once we get it rolled out, it has to be something that everyone will have to come on board and agree, because we have consulted, you have given your views, we have looked at options. I think it's something that we need to work together. Not just on issues that you have raised, but also in the long run, because you're talking about not just whole of government, it's about whole of society approach.
Well, it's the changing nature of work, isn't it? You have to be prepared for that. And rules and regulations have to be future ready for that. Mm. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
It's been
a pleasure.
Most welcome.
I'm Melissa Idris with Sharad Kutan signing off for Consider This. We will catch you next time. Thank you for watching and good night.